This podcast was first broadcast on Mix 92.6. Go to mix92.6.com to find more Environment Matters podcasts and, if you enjoy what we do, to find out how you can support the station, which is run entirely by volunteers. I hope you enjoy the podcast. Welcome to Environment Matters with me, Amanda Yorworth. Environment Matters is the show that brings you news on issues of sustainability and the environment from around Hertfordshire and from further afield. Now, if you live in St Albans District, and if you've ever despaired at a public building not having solar panels, for example, or perhaps your block of flats not having an electrical vehicle charging point, or perhaps you just like some of your money to benefit local people and the local environment, then you might be interested to know that St Albans District Council is getting together with a not-for-profit business called Community Energy Pathways to explore the opportunities for community energy around the district. Now, I was keen to find out more, so I spoke to Kirsty Shanahan, Project Manager at Community Energy Pathways, and I started by asking her what a community energy might look like, what the term community energy covered.
Well, community energy started in the time of the feed-in tariff and was very often aimed at helping community buildings like schools or village halls to get solar when they didn't have the budget to get the solar themselves. And then the community energy group was able to use the feed-in tariff income to create a surplus, which they then channeled into a community benefit fund. But also they were able to give the community building tenant, so the school or the parish council or the committee, whatever, they were able to give them a cheaper energy rate because the energy that they used from the solar on their roof was charged to them at a lower rate than they would get from the grid by the community energy group. Since the end of the feed-in tariff, life has got a lot more difficult for community energy groups, and a lot of them have turned to what we call powering down. So powering down is about helping homeowners and householders to reduce the energy that they use at home on the basis that the energy that you don't use is both greener and cheaper than the energy that you do use. There's not a lot of money in that though, because people don't necessarily want to pay for energy efficiency advice. So a lot of that has been paid for through funding from grants, from DNOs like UK Power Networks, or from government. But a lot of community energy groups have kept themselves going through that. But there are still a lot of them putting solar on schools and even just helping with feasibility studies, helping a local parish council just to know what to do. A lot of them have been really useful in doing that as well.
Okay, so quite a variety of different possibilities there. And the idea is that it's a bit of a partnership between the person who owns the roof and then local people who might be able to contribute money or might be able to, as you say, contribute expertise in some way or advice or...
Yeah, so the financial model for a community energy group works that the local people invest in the community energy group, which then invests in the solar. It's energy that is owned by the community for the benefit of the community. And the income from that solar generation goes back into the community. It doesn't go out to a kind of faceless energy supplier. And that's the real beauty of it. It's that local investors get to shape the energy transition for their community. It has sort of other benefits as well, because once they're invested in it, they kind of do more at home and the conversation becomes more normalised in the community. But fundamentally, a community energy group registers as a community benefit society. That's an asset-locked institution, which means that they have long-term relationships with other asset-locked corporations like parish councils and schools. And it means if the community benefit society dissolves or goes under, those assets are then transferred to the other asset-locked community organisations. So there's less risk for the investors and there's less risk for the people who are hosting the rooftop solar, basically.
Okay. Now, I just said solar there. Community energy, you said it can also be to do with reducing the amount of energy that we use, presumably things like insulation. And when it's talking about energy generation, is it always to do with renewable energy?
In general, yes, because that is the easiest way to create an income and to return to the investors. Some community energy groups have done projects around feasibility into district heat networks. Those haven't been universally successful because there are so many variables. I won't go into the boring detail, but do feel free to contact me if you'd like to hear more about those. And district heat means basically getting all of the people in one village or area to invest in a heat network that they then pay into together. Yeah. So you can imagine it's very complicated. In general, most people, it's either wind turbines or solar generation. And the earlier groups might have a solar farm and they might have school solar. There's all a mix. But in general, the generation projects, well, actually, I've said that, but there are some hydro projects. In general, they don't have a great return. They're quite expensive to do. And obviously, you've got all of the biodiversity ecological impact as well. So in general, it tends to be rooftop solar, and wind turbines were a bigger thing. And they may be coming back on with the change in the government policy on onshore wind. So we're always at the mercy of government regulation and, you know, popular culture. We're at the mercy of the energy prices. Since they went up, everything's become a bit more viable. But when they go down, it becomes a bit less viable. If the Bank of England interest rates go up, then it becomes less viable. But overall, it's a kind of very positive and altruistic thing for a local community.
Yes, it certainly sounds like that. So you've spoken about quite a lot of the benefits there, obviously enabling energy projects, renewable energy projects, usually where they wouldn't otherwise happen. As you said, if you've got local people involved, they tend to be a bit more aware of energy. So that has benefits as far as reducing the amount of energy or making you at least more aware of the energy that you're using. And then you also spoke about the return that people would get if they put money into the project. Do you find that that's something that is motivating for people, I suppose?
The returns are usually aimed at being competitive with bank savings. You're looking really to give people an ethical investment option. Sometimes it can be on a par with a normal bank savings, and sometimes it can be less. It depends on the appetite of the local community, because some people have spare money and they just want to do some good in their community. And if they get a return, amazing. And if they can get their money out again, that's great. You know, it's better than just sort of donating it to charity in terms of the return. And a lot of people have been turning more to wanting ethical options, and investing in your own community feels good. So we do complex financial modelling based on what the power purchase agreement, so what the off-taker, the tenant of the building, is going to pay in terms of the per kilowatt rate, and then how much of their solar they're going to use comes into it. If they've got battery storage as well, they might use 70 to 80%, so that makes the financial model better. Ultimately, though, it is a bit of a juggling act for the community energy group. And that's why a lot of community energy groups have struggled a bit, you know, and a lot of volunteers that were very enthusiastic about it have kind of melted away because they feel that they can't get anything going. But there are over 450 community energy groups in England, and many of them do have at least one or two projects, and most of them are viable at some level. But it does take a lot of love and persistence and determination and passion from volunteers, as well as some paid staff who often work part-time while juggling other jobs.
So I just wondered now what Community Energy Pathways, the company that you work for, what it's planning with St Olma's District Council at the moment.
Well, St Albans District Council is a really proactive council in terms of planet, and they've put a lot of solar on their own buildings already, but they are dependent on grant funding. And what they've done is take some funding that they've got to basically work out what we've got in the district in terms of an appetite for community energy, what kind of people might come forward to be part of a community energy group, what else needs to be done. So we've got some big roofs like schools and industrial estates and other institutions that haven't got solar and might want it. And could a community energy group fill the gap where the government is not going to give them grants and they don't have the money to invest in it themselves? So the council wants to find out how many potential sites there are, what interest there is from the community. And also, if a community energy group got started, the council would be willing to at least start the conversation about could they partner on putting solar on a council building. There's also a bigger conversation to have with Hertfordshire County Council around schools, because obviously the district council doesn't control the schools. So moving forward, although the council wouldn't be able to fund the community energy group necessarily, they could at least facilitate and support, which actually is really important, because so often they do have, for example, a premises where the group could meet, or even if they can't partner on putting the solar on district council building, they could at least help with advice on planning or advice on businesses and things like that, and connecting people with the right people to talk to. So I think St Albans District Council's main objective is to sow the seed and till the soil and see then what grows out of the community as a result.
And basically, you act as a facilitator in all of this.
Yeah, Community Energy Pathways is a not-for-profit social enterprise which takes a lot of community energy experience and kind of leapfrogs the common barriers. And it tries very much to stop people reinventing the wheel. So we already have financial models that lots of community energy groups have used, and we will give that to the group. We can already foresee the best process of getting from identifying a site to putting it out for tender for solar installers to bid for the work, putting together a community share offer, getting constituted as a community benefit society. We can provide mentoring and support for all of that with some funding if we do pay our staff. But we're just basically helping people not to have to reinvent the wheel, go through all the pain that all these community energy groups have done before, and move forward faster.
Right, okay, well, that sounds very valuable. So you have a public meeting planned. Can you just tell us a little bit about it, what it's about, and who you think might be interested in going along, and I suppose what you hope it achieves?
We would like just to bring people together in a room and explain what community energy can do, as I've done in this interview, which is super helpful. Thank you so much for inviting me along. And we want to get people to discuss potential sites and see who is interested in taking it forward, answer any questions people have. It might be completely new to some people and not very new to other people. It might be something that people have looked into before but thought, oh, we can't get that going. But is there an appetite now to do that? So it's really just about bringing people together to have the discussion about community energy at that event. And then hopefully, if there are enough people interested, we can move it forward to actually workshopping around, you know, realistically, what can we achieve? And it doesn't just have to be solar on roofs. I was just having a conversation with someone today about potentially getting a residents' association together and putting solar and home batteries into a whole apartment block and EV chargers down below, or starting an EV car club. Because if you've got 200 spaces in a communal car park and everybody lives in the flats above, do we really want everybody having cars down below? Or could we have a car club where you've got a residents' association that's already a body that communicates with itself? That's a really good potential. So it could be anything. The brilliant thing about community energy is it's hugely entrepreneurial. So what we do is we address the problem of the energy transition. We want to help people in a community decarbonize and reduce their energy use. How we do that is up to the community. Also, we can try and talk about the ones that haven't worked, that people have already tried, and just save you hours of pain. Really, anything goes in community energy because it's by the community for the community. So
marvellous. Well, the idea of not falling into the traps that other groups have fallen into is a very good one. So people who should go along to the meeting, you'd be looking for people who've just seen a roof that you think might do well with some solar, people who perhaps have got a little bit of money that they might want to do something good with, people who are just interested in just finding out a little bit more, I suppose.
Absolutely. And it might be somebody who is a professional in sustainability or renewables. It might be somebody who just really wants to do something practical, who is sort of sick of worrying about the climate emergency. Every kilowatt that we green or reduce makes a difference, right? If 1 million people saved a kilowatt a day, that's actually a lot of solar farm not being built, not being needed. And it's a lot of oil and gas not being imported and used. So, you know, I think that we can, with community energy, really make a practical difference in our community. So it's anybody who wants to do something. And even if you don't have technical expertise, if you're great at bringing your community together, if you are great at networking, if you're well connected with businesses or even with the council or whoever, you can help bring the community together and connect the right people, because it's often just about getting the right people in the room. Maybe you've got project management skills, even if it's not in this area, if you've just got the ability to see what the steps are and make them happen and nudge people. And if you've got some time on your hands that you can put into that, or if you're looking for a part-time job and we could potentially get funding, you know, it's quite exciting, the options. And really anybody could be involved. There will be room in the team for all sorts of different skills.
Marvellous. That's good to know. And perhaps if we can't make the meeting, and I'll make sure I put the details of that meeting into the notes that go with the podcast of this show, if we can't go to the meeting, is there still a way that we might find out more or get involved?
Absolutely. We will probably record it and put it out on the District Council's website. But if you contact me, I'd love to have a chat with you about it. I'm putting together a report for the District Council by the end of June, and we'd like to have a list of people who might be able to take this forward. But if you've got just questions about it, or you think there's some way you can help, but you don't want to be involved too much, but just get in touch with me. And my email address is kirsty.shanahan@communityenergypathways.org.uk.
Kirsty, thank you so much for telling us about that today.
It's really my pleasure. Thank you so much for having us on.
I was talking there to Kirsty Shanahan, Project Manager at Community Energy Pathways. And as I said, I'll put the link to the exploratory meeting that Kirsty told us about, and also Kirsty's email address, into the notes that go with the podcast of this show, and that you'll find on the podcast page of mix926.com. And the meeting that Kirsty told us about is on Thursday. That's the 5th of June, and it's online. And it's free, but you will have to book your place. Anyway, it's always lovely to hear from you. Are you interested in the idea of community energy? Do tell me about it via email. I'm on amanda.yorworth@mix926.com, or look for Environment Matters on Mix 92.6 on X and on Facebook. Right, I've just got time for two quick reminders. First, if you were listening a couple of weeks ago, you'll know that the Great Big Green Week is nearly upon us, and that there are lots of eco activities happening for that, particularly if you live in Southwest Herts. Do check out the Great Big Green Week website to see what's going on. And if you've not yet signed up to take part in the Wildlife Trust's 30 Days Wild, well, there's still time to do so. Once again, it's an invitation to do one act of wildness each day during June. Think, I don't know, barefoot walk in the daisies, listening to the birds in your local park, or perhaps just taking the time to discover which wildflowers have popped up in your garden or street. It's always lovely. I'll be with you at the same time next week, but until then, thank you for listening.